words failed Q-Tango. "Well, you can't," he said. "The very idea." He drew himself up to his full width and turned away. Something tugged at his robe.
"Why not?" said a voice.
He turned.
"Because," he said, slowly and deliberately, "because the whole idea is completely laughable, that's why. And it's absolutely against the law."
"But I can do wizard magic," said Esk, the faintest suggestion of a tremble in her voice.
Q-Tangle bent down until his face was level with hers.
"No, you can't," he hissed. "Because you're not a wizard. Women aren't wizards. Do I make myself clear?"
"Watch," said Esk.
She extended her right hand, with the fingers spread, and sighted along until she spotted the statue of Malik the Wise, the founder of the university. Instinctively, the wizards between her and it edged out of the way and then felt rather silly.
"I mean it," she said.
"Go away, little girl," said
Q-Tangle.
"Right,"
said Esk. She squinted hard at the statue and concentrated. The great doors of Unseen University are made of Octoron, a metal so unstable that it can only exist in a universe saturated with raw magic. They are impregnable to all force, save magic. No fire, no battering ram, no army can breach them. Which is why most ordinary visitors to the university use the back door, which is made of perfectly normal wood and doesn't go around terrorizing people. Or even stand still terrorizing people. It had a proper knocker and everything. Granny examined the doorposts carefully and gave a grunt of satisfaction when she spotted what she was looking for. She hadn't doubted that it would be there, cunningly concealed by the natural grain of the wood. She grasped the knocker, which was shaped like a dragon's head, and rapped smartly three times. After a while, the door was opened by a young woman with her mouth full of clothes pegs.
"What do you want?"
she inquired. Granny bowed, giving the girl a chance to take in the pointy black hat and the batwing hatpins. It had an impressive effect. She blushed, and, peering out into the quiet alleyway, hurriedly motioned Granny inside. There was a big mossy courtyard on the other side of the wall, crisscrossed with washing lines. Granny had the chance to become one of the very few women to learn what it really is that wizards wear under their robes, but modestly averted her eyes and followed the girl across the flagstones and down a wide flight of steps. They led into a long, high tunnel lined with archways and currently full of steam. Granny caught sight of long lines of washtubs in the big rooms off to the sides. The air had the warm, fat smell of ironing. A gaggle of girls carrying wash baskets pushed past her and hurried up the steps. They stopped halfway up and turned slowly to look at her. Granny set her shoulders back and tried to look as mysterious as possible. Her guide, who still hadn't got rid of her clothes pegs, led her down a side passage into a room that was a maze of shelves piled with laundry. In the very centre of the maze, sitting at a table, was a very fat woman with a ginger wig. She had been writing in a very large laundry book. It was still open in front of her, but was currently inspecting a large stained vest.
"Have you tried bleaching?"
she asked.
"Yes'm," said the maid beside her.
"What about tincture of myrrh?"
"Yes'm, it just turned it blue."
"Well, this is a new one on me," said the laundry woman.
"And I've seen brimstone and soot and dragon blood and demon blood and I don't know what else."
She turned the vest over and read the name tape carefully sewn inside.
Grandpone the White. He's going to be Grandpone the Grey if he doesn't take better care of his laundry. I tell you, girl, a white magician is just a black magician with a good housekeeper. Take it."
She caught sight of Granny and stopped.
"It's up at the door,"
said Granny's guide, dropping a hurried curtsy.
"Who is that?"
"Yes, yes, thank you, Cassandra, you may go,"
said the fat woman, and stood up and beamed at Granny, and with an almost perceptible click, wound her voice up several social classes.